when my life is shattered and torn. Though I'm windswept and battered, I can cling to his cross and find peace in the midst of the storm.
Welcome to the Wednesday Gathering, a live Christian Science teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting, hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you've joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those with a computer, our web address is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive. Now let's begin this Wednesday gathering with singing hymn number 236. Welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is Peace in the Middle East. I shall be reading from the Authorized or King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. From the Bible. Psalms. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The Acts of the Apostles. And in those days, when the numbering of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And he said, Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land. And so Abraham begat Isaac, and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him, and delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, in which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came to his heart to visit the brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him, and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not, and the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler or a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard them groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. The book of Esther. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this is Ahasuerus which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia over 127 provinces, that in those days there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Hegai, that Esther was also brought into the king's house. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head, and made her queen. After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, and advanced him, and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath, and he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. And the letters were sent by posts into all the king's provinces, to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out to the midst of the city, and cried with a loud and bitter cry. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai, and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? So the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day of the banquet of wine, What is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed even to half the kingdom. Then Esther the queen answered and said, If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. Let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then King Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen, and to Mordecai the Jew, Behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him that they hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hands upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name, and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. And in every province, and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, and a feast, and a good day. The Jews had light, and gladness, and joy, and honor. And the king Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land, and upon the isles of the sea. For Mordecai the Jew is next to the king Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people, and speaking peace to all his seed. Ephesians. Now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Galatians. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. As we have therefore the opportunity, let us do good unto all men, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. And from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Children of Israel, the representatives of soul, not corporeal sense, the offspring of spirit, who having wrestled with error, sin, and sense, are governed by divine science. Some of the ideas of God beheld as men, casting out error and healing the sick. Christ's offspring. From beginning to end, the scriptures are full of accounts of the triumph of spirit, mind, over matter. Moses proved the power of mind by what men called miracles. So did Joshua, Elijah, and Elisha. The Christian era was ushered in with signs and wonders. Reforms have commonly been attended with bloodshed and persecution, even when the end has been brightness and peace. But the present new yet old reform in religious faith will teach men patiently and wisely to stem the tide of sectarian bitterness whenever it flows inward. It should no longer be said in Israel that the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. Sympathy with error should disappear. The realities of being, its normal action, and the origin of all things are unseen to mortal sense, whereas the unreal and imitative movements of mortal belief, which would reverse the immortal modus in action, are styled the real. Whoever contradicts this mortal mind supposition of reality is called a deceiver, or is said to be deceived. Whoever is the first meekly and conscientiously to press along the line of gospel healing is often accounted a heretic. A few immortal senses, breathing the omnipotence of divine justice, have been potent to break despotic fetters and abolish the whipping post and slave market. But oppression neither went down in blood, nor did the breath of freedom come from the cannon's mouth. God has built a higher platform of human rights, and he has built it on diviner claims. These claims are not made through code or creed, but in demonstration of on-earth peace, goodwill toward men. Discerning the rights of man, we cannot fail to foresee the doom of all oppression. Citizens of the world, accept the glorious liberty of the children of God and be free. This is your divine right. It should be thoroughly understood that all men have one mind, one God and Father, one life, truth, and love. Mankind will become perfect in proportion as this fact becomes apparent. War will cease, and the true brotherhood of man will be established. One infinite God, good, unifies men and nations, constitutes the brotherhood of man, ends wars, fulfills the scripture, love thy neighbor as thyself, annihilates pagan and Christian idolatry, whatever is wrong in social, civil, criminal, political, and religious codes, equalizes the sexes, annuls the curse on man, and leaves nothing that can sin, suffer, be punished, or destroyed. The 12 tribes of Israel, with all mortals, separated by belief from man's divine origin and the true idea, will through much tribulation yield to the activities of the divine principle of man in the harmony of science. These are the stars in the crown of rejoicing. They are the lamps in the spiritual heavens of the age, which show the workings of the spiritual idea by healing the sick and the sinning, and by manifesting the light which shines unto the perfect day as the night of materialism wanes. Who has felt the loss of human peace has not gained stronger desires for spiritual joy. The crude creations of mortal thought must finally give place to the glorious forms which we sometimes behold in the camera of divine mind, when the mental picture is spiritual and eternal. Mortals must look beyond fading finite forms if they would gain the true sense of things. Spirit and its formations are the only realities of being. Spiritual living and blessedness are the only evidences by which we can recognize true existence and feel the unspeakable peace which comes from an all-absorbing spiritual love. The universe of spirit is peopled with spiritual beings, and its government is divine science. Through divine science, Spirit, God, unites understanding to eternal harmony. Thus the dawn of ideas goes on, forming each successive stage of progress. The calm and exalted thought, or spiritual apprehension, is at peace. Now this concludes the healing message and the publicly recorded portion of the meeting.